April 22, 2024. And I wanted to recording because I have been to my doctor today, and it was a long time since I was to my doctor. I think he was sick that time when I should come to him, and I have waiting maybe over 1 month to talk to him. But it was okay because it was much test ongoing when he was sick, and he got the answer before we met today. And I say to him that it had not with the sugar level in my blood to do this error I have gotten now this year. My hearing lost. I hear, but not so good anymore. That was X-ray on the ears, the bones that is connected with the ears. And I thought they could see what's going on in the head, in the brain, with one X-ray, but that was only for the ears that they did. And so I say the doctor have the result. I don't have any hearing loss in that way that something have going wrong with my hearing. And it's about connection with the brain to do. I said to him, and like he as a doctor, he understand it, but I wanted to remind him about it. And I say I was to the eye doctor and check out, and it had been damage on my right eyes, but I had on my left eye before, but now is it on both eyes that is start to be damaged. So if I have been stressed, because if they don't do anything, I go blind and I go deaf if they don't do anything. And I can't let it be like that. So I was maybe a little forceful. Maybe sounds a little angry, but it was because I was stressed that the doctor doesn't do anything, because that's not normal to lose your hearing and the eyesight in the same time. And so I was aggressive to him because I wanted a result done. And I had this appointment with the doctor because I had so much pain in my legs. And I say it's not so very bad today, I say. So I want to change it to what's going on with the brain, I say to him. And because I can accept it. But he say that I have a fracture in my right knee after the car drive over me, 2018. And he say it should be okay today, the broken knee. But I say it's like it's going bad again. Maybe every second week, and then it's painful in it, and it's hard to walk when I have this pain in my right knee, and I am worried that the left knee should also be bad, so I have hard to walk. I say to him, and I think he's going to make an x-ray on my right knee, because it was written like that I have a fracture. So he saw that. But he say that to me that he said that he is going to call for an x-ray on the brain. I'd be so very happy that at last that he did wrote to the hospital about the brain. So it's now it's connected, this what's going on in the brain. And but he say that he didn't know what sort of x-ray I should have, and so he couldn't tell me today, and told me that he's going to ask a more expert in this with the x-rays and call me for the x-ray soon. So I was very happy that he started to look at the brain, because it's something that block the connection with my eyes and my ears. It's not normal. And I say that I start to be weak in my body. I feel weakness in my body, like the energy going out from me very quick. And I have to sleep very often. If I don't go to sleep, but I fall. I don't fall to sleep. It's my brain that going take a break when I lay down and close my eyes, and then suddenly I have been away for 1-2 hours, sometimes sleeping, and sometimes is it only that the brain doesn't work anymore. And so I can't have that, because half of the day is going away for to lay down in the bed, because I'm out of energy in my body. So I say it's really, really, really the last day for to do anything, because I feel that I'm going away. And the doctor said that, are you worried, going worried every day and think about it, he said to me. I said to him, I am not frightened about death, I say to him. But I didn't want to tell him that I have been dead many times. And that it was enough to say that. I'm not frightened about death. So that's not what I'm thinking about, of the fear of death. I am only worried how I will die. But I hope it's going like it have been when I have been in an accident, that my brain is going out before I feel anything. And that's really okay. It doesn't matter how it looked like, as long as the brain take me away. And I like wake up that I am in heaven. That's okay. Because I don't feel any pain. When the car ran over me, I didn't felt any pain, because the spirits that was with me, they have already left me. They have already lift me up in the air. So I was in the spirit. So I didn't felt my body. So they helped me in that way. And they have done that many times. And I understand that. And I hope they helped me the last time. And I only start to understand that I am in heaven. So I'm not worried about death. I'm worried to be like a vegetable. I don't want to lay in a bed and can't move or talk or anything. Only lay in a bed. That I don't want. I hope I die before it happened, that I only lay there and the evil people is coming to treat me, and they don't care because I can't say anything to any person what they are doing to me. That I don't want. But it's not my want, but I wish that. Like I, it's so stupid, like I wish that I was in the United States on my 50th birthday. And I only wish that. And when my birthday came, I was in the United States. But I never thought when I wished that when I was about 35 that I should be in United States. I never thought that I should be homeless and not have $1 to buy a cake to me on my birthday. Only be there. And no one cared that it was my 50th birthday. So that is, it's not good to wish like that, because you need to speak out your wish in every details if you should wish, or else you take it as God and heaven want you to do on that day. So many people do wrong things that to wish, and then they wish only a short thing, like I want a new car, and then you maybe get the new car, but it's a new car for you. It's not done. It's not coming from the fabric on not from the industry. It's some, can be an old car, but it's new for you to drive. So you understand that it's important to really specify the details. And now my doctor, he's a young doctor, and I'm worried that he is going to move away to another place. They do that often here in Sweden. He have been to education. Sometimes I have not could get the appointment with my doctor because he is in education. But that also can help me in the way that he is curious what's going on in my brain. And he seems like he is deep thinker. And I hope he never give up that he is a deep thinker and want to know what's going on. I'm standing in front of him and he see I'm honestly, and today I told him, you only see me as a patient. You don't know anything about me. I say to him, and you don't know that I have worked with computers most of my life, since 1978. I have worked with the brain the whole time. I have not been in work where I can only go in a sleep and do the work. I have worked with the brain my whole life. And I told him I love to travel, and I have traveled to many countries. I say, because I wanted him to know. I'm not I don't see me as a normal person, and I be very angry, but as always I be angry inside me when they treat me and say I am an ordinary woman, but I am and I'm not, and I be angry about it. So I wanted to tell him, and today it become in that way that I speak much English with him, because I couldn't find the Swedish words for what I should said, tell him. So I speak English. So he heard that I could speak English. Often say, I'm sorry, but I can't find the Swedish word for this. I can only say it in English. And most people that is well educated, 100% maybe, know English here in Sweden. It's our second language in Sweden. And the language here in Sweden is Swedish. But then we have the second language, the official language, second is English. And today the children start to learn English already in the first year they are in the school. So we speak very good English here. But people can be shy, so they don't want to talk. But they can speak English and they understand English. Like I say, when I was young, I said to people that I understand English more than what I can speak. I say to them, and that's also in German, in my eight languages, that I understand more than I can talk. And so I say, he's cute, my doctor. I had to say that. He's about 30, between 30 and 35. Very cute man. And I told him the first time that you belong to the Jewish family. We are relatives, you and I, but maybe far away, because he have a Jewish name. And a special for Jewish here in Sweden. It's in his last name that I can see it. It's harder to see it in the first name, but the last name is Aaron. He had that name in his last name. So I say that to him. And it surprised him when I say that. He maybe knew it and wondering how I could know that. But I told him. So I think I had make him be a little interested and curious about me. And now I don't talk about God and those things I did before. I have stopped now. So in normal life, they don't know it if we don't going into that special way to tell that I am ordained pastor, that I never say. And but on like Facebook and here in the podcast, you know that I belong to God and I speak from God. I speak from heaven. And in the technical that I will repeat, I have said that before, that those in afterlife, those that speak to me, they don't speak to me directly to me, immediately to me. They have to go through God to could talk to me. He know what they are going to tell me. So he accept them. And if they should, of some reason, talk it to me wrong, it have happened that suddenly God is coming and correct it. And sometimes is it the connection error in it, because God knows what they are going to say. And if they say the wrong things, he take them away. So everything is going through God. And I talking to those in heaven, in afterlife, I also need to go and ask God for to could talk to them. It's not that I and afterlife talking to each other without any supreme listen at us and look at us, what can be seen. So it's not free of talk. And today, when before I go to the doctor, I was praying to God in that way that I know, that I told God I needed to get the solution of my problem now from the doctor, that he need to do something that step up the research of what's going on inside my brain. I say it to God, and I say it to God that those that have placed the damage in my brain, let them also repair it. I say that. It's not, it's very wrong. You should never ever say that, return evil to those that have done evil to you. You should never do that. I pray to God that my neighbors over me, that is very much sounds there, it's very hard to live under that family. I have asked God to give them a better place to live in, a better house than what they have. I don't say that let them only move away from here. I say to God that give them a better place to live in. Do it positive, not change evil to evil. It's total wrong. You can say it in another way to God. And I say that to let them repair what they have caused the problem in my brain. But that is also something I say because I think the error in my brain comes for a long time ago. I have this error in my brain, at least just when I come back from United States 2004. So it started 2005 that the doctor could measure that I'm on my way to get diabetes, and then I get this pancreas illness. But already 1994, I wake up in the night and I saw some like energy over my head, and I saw that they have opened my head, my skull. They were inside my brain and working, and I told them I was like paralyzed, so I couldn't talk with my mouth, but they have already teach me how to talk telepathy, so talk in my brain, so I don't need to do the move of the mouth, and that's what's going on today also. So I told them in my brain that I am awake, and then they look, was someone that was looking into my face of this this energy. It was not like a face, but it was energy that was over my face and look at me. And suddenly I went away with my brain. They stopped the brain. And I wake up like a normal morning. And it can be from that time when we had aliens coming into our bedroom in the nights. I don't know how often, but it was in that time when I saw the spaceship was parking on our new built house, and they ran from the roof down to the bedroom that was just under the roof, and they come in that way. And I wake up sometimes and saw them. And I couldn't see how they looked like, because they have we can't see them with our eyes. It's no reflection they have on them. And I could only see the frame of them. And then it was darker in the frame than it was in my room. So I could see them, but I couldn't see any details in them. So now, it was about maybe 2 years ago, I wake up in the night and they were over me and looking down on me. And there I saw, they look like those in the picture that you can see. But when I look at them for 2 years ago, I didn't think they look scaring. I almost love them. They were not scary at all. Maybe was it that my brain remembered them from when they have abducted me, so I was used to see them. But they didn't have this, that they look like they are starving. They look like those that you see in picture, but they were not skeleton. They were slim, but they were not starving to death. And their eyes was not so extremely big as we can see in the picture. They were not normal eyes, but they were big, but not so extremely big. So I loved them, and I think they felt it also, that I had love for them, and that tells me that they maybe was my ancestors coming back to me, and I remember them. So the meeting was not bad, but those that was on the roof, 1994, they were only like up to my knees. They were not 1 meter high. They were really small. One of them were sitting on my boyfriend's hip when he was sleeping, and he couldn't feel. So it was not so much weight on that alien, and maybe it was no weight at all. Maybe it was a spirit way to show me. And but they took me out, and I was in a spaceship, 1994, and I don't know what they did with me. So maybe this is a result of that time. So that's why I pray in that way, that those that have done this damage in my brain should repair it also. So I have not slept one night, so we will see if they are coming in the night to repair my brain. Not to frighten me, but repair the brain. We will see what will happen. And and it was very strange in this situation that what happened after the doctor appointment, that I wish I could turn back that time to could see the man that drive me back home. He was talking about aliens and talking about that the aliens maybe have done something with my brain that caused this problem I have now, as the doctor couldn't really understand what it is, and that I suddenly lost, I can't that word, consequence. I think it's similar to that, that I lost myself in the brain. And the doctor today, he asked me if it was like sleeping, do you fall to sleep? I say it's, I don't fall to sleep. It's like a button. You switch off and on. And last time I was away, I knew the time because I was watching television when and the news when I suddenly was waiting for the taxi to come, and suddenly I wake up and I realized that I must put on my clothes because the taxi is coming soon. So I run away to the bathroom to take off my clothes. And then when I run to the bathroom, it was calling on the door. And the taxi driver said, I can't wait for you, because I have other people I should drive. So he didn't drive me to the hospital. And I have been away 1 hour. And I was okay in my brain. It's not like when I'm sleeping. It's like some step to take. That you are not really clear in your brain immediately when you wake up. It takes a little time to wake up the brain. But when I'm away, like this arrow I have, I go directly from watching news, and suddenly it was gone 1 hour, and I could jump up and understand that the taxi driver is coming soon. And I had no time to look at the clock in that time. I only ran to the bathroom to put on clothes, but it was too late. And then when the taxi driver didn't want to take me to the hospital, then I sit down at the television again, and I saw it was 1 hour gone. So it's not like sleeping. It's go directly, immediately switch off the brain. It's nothing it says, oh, well, it's soon going to close down here. It doesn't do that way. It can, wherever I am, suddenly stop. And I know it when I was young, teenager, I know I had some stop there also. But I think that was more that we were out in 3 nights and not sleeping for 3 days. That's not wondering if my brain stopped. So I think it's not the same thing. So now is the next step to wait for the mail and that saying that I should come to the x-ray and we will see what's going on in the x-ray. And today the doctor told me that he want to take all the basic blood tests and also in the urine, the peeing, and then he tested me on many things that have with movement of move the body, move the eyes, because he wanted to be sure that there was no basic error that was easily to fix. I understand him that it must be, if he should ask expert on the brain, and he also take neurologic, it says so in Swedish, those that have with the move, how we move, how we can do our body move, those things. He asked, he test my sensitive on the skin if I had was paralyzed in any places. But all these basic things was okay. And I was happy for that. So he could go move forward. And I'm so thankful that he did that and not stop it, because that had been my death. And that the prayer could take place that I did. So I'm waiting to read about the result of the blood test. I have never done so much blood test as I did today. It was very much tubes that was filled with my blood today, because he wanted that all basic should be done, have been done. So I have a spirit with me, but I don't know what's going on. He said that I should tell you. Of some reason he said that I should tell you that my daughter is coming tomorrow. And of some reason, it's not her. I have lots of her church people as friends on Facebook, but they never talk it to me on Facebook. But they read what I write, And I have written about that my daughter doesn't help me. She don't act like a daughter. And then that I am very sick. So it seems like they have told her to that she need to take more care of her mother. So my daughter is coming tomorrow because I have asked her to help me with the garden. It's even if it's cold outside, the grass is growing, the weed is growing. It's I have bought home soil that need to go into my flowers, and it's very heavy. And then is it to clean up the platform in the garden where I sit outside and sit in the sun and eat food there outside. Needs to be clean up the floor there. So I ask her because I don't have that strength to could really clean up the floor. So she have much work to do tomorrow. And I can't be outside with her for a long time because my brain be tired of if it's only wind. And tomorrow it can be a little cold. And then also sometimes it can be rain, they say that. But if it be rain, she is going in with me. But if it's only cold outside, she can do that. She's still young, so she can help me to cut the grass, cut what doesn't look nice. And then switch sofa. But, now in this area I forget that I should go and get a key to the trash room where we place in big things in it. So I can't go out in the trash room with the sofa. So I am thinking about that old sofa that I need to go to the trash with. I can use it as a flower bed, hanging up flowers in the summer, and then after the summer go to the trash room with it, so I can work with it, so I don't need to open up the trash room for big things. So this was what I wanted to tell you. I'm really okay, but I need to spare the energy. I need to hold into the energy so I don't work too much and then I maybe fall to on the floor and be laying there and be very bad. I need to know how much I can work with my body and when it's time to go to bed. I need to be very careful as my brain, I don't know what's going on in my brain. It's maybe more than in one place. So even if I talk about this with doctors, I hope you you catch something, that you find something that that you say thumb up, that you understand what I was talking about. I hope so. In any way, I am thankful that you want to listen at me and want to know my story, because I'm not done yet. It's depend on when God call me home, but he maybe don't never call me home. They maybe are coming here to stay with me, and we be like a little heaven here on earth. It can happen. We don't know. We don't know the future. It can happen that they never call me home. I don't know. It maybe was my hope or not that I felt it like that. I maybe be 100 years old. Who knows? I don't know the future. And you also can be 100. You are not gone so far in the plan God has for you. So you don't know. You don't know what's waiting for you around the corner. It's a hand I see. So he's holding out it because he know that some of you that listen, you need to hear it. That you can't say, my time have run out. You never know. You maybe have a deadly, like cancer or a deadly disease, and the doctor say there it's not so much time for you left, but you should not go for that. That's only a human that's telling you that. You need to wait for God to call you. You can't say, my life is over because the doctor say I have only a half year to live. And then you give up everything. And some of you spend everything because you don't know the do you think that what doctor say is the truth. And now he's saying that to me. That's now he's coming to that part why he come through the spirit is that I have told you before, but I tell you that is new in my podcast, that my aunt, she got the stroke. And she was laying in the hospital, and the doctor and a nurse was thinking that it was time for her death. And my aunt, she had a son in Australia, and he come here in Sweden, and he sold my aunt's house. She had a house and he was selling it, and he took those most. My aunt was very wealthy, and he took with him to Australia things that was very valuable. that was much money, and so everything was gone. And my mother took me to the hospital, and I was in my aunt's room and saw her laying there. And I told my mother that she should go home, and she should pick all the pictures she had of my aunt and her when they were in the nightclubs in Canary Island, and place it up in the room where she was laying and should die. And they had cut off one leg on her because she started to be rotten, the body. It doesn't work anymore. But the brain was okay. We didn't know that, but it was okay. And my mother placed those picture. I say that, placed the picture there. And I don't know why my mother did it. Or she didn't laugh at me. She believed me. And she did that. And then it's come those young nurses into my aunt's room. And she said, oh, and they were talking about it. Oh, you have been to Canary Island and on the nightclubs, and you have boyfriends there. And those things they were talking in her room about the picture. And my aunt wake up because she heard them talking about her in Canary Island. So she wake up, but everything was gone from her. So she had to go to a nursing home, but she lived 8 years after the doctor say, you are only she is on her way to die. And my cousin came from Australia, and he was waiting to go on his mother's funeral, but he couldn't stay because he have his own business in Australia, truck driver, and he had to go back home to take care of the business. And she never died. Not like the doctors have said. She lived 8 years more. And she couldn't talk. And she have lost one leg. But it was okay for her. She lived. She lived 8 years. She learned how to walk again with one fake leg, and she could play card like everyone else and do things for 8 years. So you should not say that the doctor told me that I have only one month to live or whatever they say. Because God maybe have not told you that. It's human. And they don't know the future. Only God knows the future. And that's what he was coming to say. Because you were a person that was on your way to give up. And that's what he wanted to tell you, that don't give up. Don't give up on your life, because you don't know what's around next corner. So God bless you all. And thank you for listening.